Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
In the first few months of the pandemic, health experts thought COVID-19 was generally a mild infection that would pass pretty quickly for the majority of people who contracted the virus. While most people do get better within weeks, recent research suggests that a growing number are dealing with lingering symptoms that can last for months after initially falling ill. Well, in a moment, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Paddy Mallin, consultant in infectious diseases in St. Vincent's Hospital. But first, our reporter Della Kilroy today spoke to a couple dealing with the impact of long COVID.
So we went skiing last March in Austria. We went into military lockdown there in the last few days of our trip. We were in Innsbruck Airport, which is a very, very small airport. Like, we were all piled in with like hundreds of people. So we started to cough intermittently then. And then we got home, obviously went straight into isolation. And the next day, Marcus started to kind of spike a fever and I was feeling a little bit unwell. So we got referred off for a test. Sure enough, we were positive.
That's Sue Rafter, a pharmacist, mother and personal fitness trainer. Herself and her husband, Marcus, caught COVID-19 early on in the pandemic last March. Since then, they've both been suffering bouts of extreme fatigue due to long COVID, defined as having symptoms that persist after 3 months. Those affected are reporting a spectrum of problems, including severe fatigue, breathlessness, muscle aches and joint pain.
It never really went away, but it would come in waves. Like, I was previously very fit, played a lot of competitive sport and always in the gym, and the fallout was massive. You'd get through whatever you tried to do, but the recovery was days, like days in bed. And then I started to develop kind of a severe breathlessness, and I cycled home one day and I remember just thinking I wasn't able to get up the stairs. I made it upstairs, but then I fainted once I got upstairs, and then I was sent into hospital and I had like a post-COVID pneumonia. That was in June at that point, so it was a couple of months later. Because if I do overdo it, I still get severe breathlessness enough to put me back into A&E last month, you know. My oxygen saturation drops to below 90 and I'm automatically just sent into hospital when that happens.
You've been in and out of St. Vincent's Hospital in the long COVID clinic. What kind of treatment can they give you?
Well, I suppose they have to explore all options at first. This is, like, you genuinely sometimes feel like this is in your head. I had to get a load of heart tests done in particular because of signs of kind of myocarditis, which is damage to the heart. But thankfully, mine all came back clear and there was some abnormalities then on my lung function test. So I hadn't been able to go in the last couple of months because of the lockdown and the spike in numbers. But actually, I was in with Paddy Mallin yesterday only, and he seems to be confident enough of the diagnosis, which is actually a damage to the vagus nerve, and that helps control your breathing and your diaphragm and things like that. So I'll be going into a pulmonary rehab program in the long COVID clinic in Vincent. So it finally feels a year down the line that I'm being pushed in the right direction to get a bit of recovery.
While the full picture still isn't clear, a UK study estimates that around 1 in 5 people who test positive for COVID-19 suffer with the symptoms for 5 weeks or longer, with as many as 1 in 10 still struggling with symptoms for 12 weeks or longer. It's thought that around 5,000 people in Ireland are suffering from the symptoms of long COVID. For Sue's husband, Marcus Stewart, he had also trained as a fitness instructor and was exercising regularly before COVID took hold last year.
I suppose we had the breathlessness, coughing and things like that first, fever, and we had a lot of pain, actually. It was quite painful. All my old rugby injuries kicked off, like, really bad, you know, inflamed. Actually, over months, really, the fever, the odd time, it would pike again, you know. So the fatigue then, we kind of realised that we had this fatigue, you know, after that. You know, usually you'd have a bit of exercise to kind of clear your head and feel refreshed. I kind of need that, but that's definitely hasn't been possible in the last year at all. Or do a bit of gardening, you know. So I do a bit of gardening for an hour. I'll have to sleep for the rest of the day probably. I have to just, you know, I'd be kind of exhausted afterwards. Sometimes if you push yourself too hard, like if you do, let's say, the 2 hours of gardening, I might not just be tired, but I feel quite very, very unwell as well, you know. So it'd be that type of effect. I can go for a cycle. I feel okay during the cycle, but I don't feel well for a few days afterwards.
A year on, what more do you know about any possible treatment?
I know nothing, to be honest. In fairness, the long COVID clinic has been very good, and they have been very thoroughly. We're constantly going for different tests and scans and things like that, but it obviously takes time trying to diagnose and analyze what's going on with me. For example, if they've now diagnosed me with high blood pressure, which I had never before had that. So that's a new thing, but it's all too new to know, really. And, you know, we have a daughter, she's just going to turn 2, and neither of us have the energy, really, to give her best upbringing at the moment. We're trying our best, but, we'd love to see her being able to play with other kids, and, you know, that would be really, really helpful for us if we had that, you know. So there's things like that would help, and we'd look forward to, you know, this lockdown being over and at least being able to have Sophia kind of have a bit more attention from other people, you know.
And that was Marcus Stewart ending that report from Della Kilroy there. And indeed, they're having a very difficult time, but I hope that it gets resolved for them.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Now, you're welcome back to the programme. You heard before the break in Della Kilroy's report about the severity of long COVID in some cases. Now, for more on long COVID, let's talk to Dr. Paddy Mallon, who's a consultant in infectious diseases in St. Vincent's Hospital, about his work in the long COVID clinic there. Paddy, you're very welcome to the programme. Can I speak to you generally about the work you're doing there? The first question that I'd love to know the answer to is how common long COVID is.
So thanks for having me on, and I'm delighted to be able to talk about this emerging problem. To answer the first question, I guess the key is that we just don't know. We have some idea from the point of view of the number of referrals that we have coming in, that it's a common complaint, but the denominator really here is what proportion of people that have been diagnosed with COVID end up with long COVID. It has been quoted at around 10%. My own personal view is that that's probably a bit high when you consider we've had over 200,000 cases in the country. But it's certainly something that's it's busy enough for us so far to have had sufficient referrals for us now to have a waiting list that's extended well into the summer. And really? I know that similar waiting lists are building up in other clinics that have been formed around the country.
Wow. So you have a waiting list.
It is continuing.
You have a waiting list, Paddy, that is months long.
We have a waiting list that's months long. And I guess the issue with those waiting lists is that the patients that we're seeing now would have contracted COVID mostly around late 2020. So we still really haven't seen the full impact of the third wave in terms of long COVID referrals. Mm-hmm. So it is a problem that I expect to continue in the coming months.
Have you been able to work out, based on the cases you've had so far, the type of person that is likely to get long COVID?
So as your previous previous piece pointed out, the presentations here are really variable. We get people coming in that have characteristics that just fit with what we call post-viral fatigue, and we see that not uncommonly with bad infections. But the other end of the spectrum is that we have people like the couple that you just interviewed who were previously fit and well and are really very significantly debilitated, even 6 to 9 months after the infection. And that's the pattern, and the types of complaints that they describe really don't fit with our normal post-COVID or normal post-infectious fatigue. And we suspect that there are several entities that are going on in people who suffer prolonged symptoms following a COVID infection. And we're really starting to get to the bottom of them. Some of them are structural. Some of them are probably related more to abnormalities in terms of how the body handles its nervous responses and an imbalance there that we're hoping to get to the bottom of through future research.
Is it mostly younger people that get long COVID?
The characteristic that we're seeing is a predominant younger women, and especially younger fit women. Now, why that is, we don't know if it's that younger women are more likely in that age group to seek medical attention than younger men, or there actually is a true gender difference. But certainly the debilitated cases, we're seeing a preponderance of younger women that we really don't understand.
And does long COVID follow a severe bout of COVID? Or could you have asymptomatic COVID and then have long COVID, the fatigue and so on afterwards?
So this is the really interesting part. When we look at the number of people attending our long COVID clinic who are actually hospitalized with COVID, it's the minority. The vast majority of people that are getting bad COVID that require hospitalization are actually making very good recoveries. The types of patients that we're seeing that have these very prolonged courses where they're really debilitated, tend to have mild or moderate infection to start off with. So the classic story is that they get their symptoms, they get tested, they go home and they self-isolate for 2 weeks. So they're not really exercising. And it's only really when they come out of the self-isolation and they presume that they can try and get back into normal daily activities that they realize that they just can't do it. You know, they just can't do it. Any form of exercise is really debilitating, and that debilitation doesn't lift.
And at what point then, I wonder, do you seek the assistance of the Long COVID clinic in St. Vincent's? Because, as you say, after nearly all infections, isn't it the case that you're fatigued and you don't have the same energy levels?
I think a sort of rational approach would be after any bad infection, you should really give yourself a good 4 to 6 weeks to recover full function. And, you know, if you are the sort of person who's been an elite athlete or has been to the gym every day, you're not going to bounce back to that sort of level of activity within a week or two. But if you're still 4 to 6 weeks down the track and you're not really making any headway, still severely debilitated, it's at that stage that you should really seek medical advice, because that's not a normal recovery.
Paddy Mallon, I'm speaking with Dr. Paddy Mallon about long COVID. And Paddy, we have a great deal of questions actually to 51551. I might rattle through some of them if you don't mind. Is there a link, asks one listener, between ME patients and long COVID patients?
Not that we've seen. And we really don't see any predisposing sort of comorbidities of coming through in these patients. The vast majority of these patients have had no medical issues prior to getting COVID, which is another characteristic that's unusual about this sort of long COVID presentation.
Yeah, it's very intriguing. Another listener says, please ask if any patients have ongoing body rashes post-COVID, please.
We've seen a few, but definitely in the minority. The most prevalent complaints are people complaining of what we call inappropriate tachycardia. So that's the heart rate really racing very fast with even very little activity, like, you know, walking up the stairs or going out into the garden. And then this sort of intermittent fatigue. You know, one of your people earlier on described that if they do any form of exercise, you're paying for it for a couple of days at a time. And it's those sort of characteristics more so than physical rashes or lumps or bumps or anything like that. So
it's the fatigue that is very debilitating. A number of people, Paddy, asking quite simply, what can be done in terms of long COVID? And I know this is your kind of area of research, but are treatments available at the moment?
So the key here is that we need to define what the entity is. At the moment, long COVID is a description for a very broad range of presentations. The approach that we're taking is, first of all, that not to presume that long COVID is long COVID. We don't want to miss an alternative diagnosis. And our approach is to make sure that there's not something else going on that's causing the symptoms that can be readily treated. Once we do that, we try and define what the main abnormalities are. And you know, structurally, we want to make sure the lungs are okay and the heart are okay. And then once we get to that stage, you really want to try and see if we can assist people to rehabilitate more safely. And we do that through linking them in with formal post-COVID rehabilitation programs. For example, there's Dr. Sarah O'Byrne works quite close to St. Vincent's and St. Michael's Hospital and runs an excellent post-COVID cardiopulmonary rehab program that a lot of people find helpful. So we're starting to develop these structures, but we're developing them as we learn more about each of these presentations, and we do that through ongoing research. And the key here is to make sure that what we do, that we get the evidence to suggest that what we're doing is safe and effective. The one thing that we don't want to do is to start using unlicensed medications to treat an entity that we don't really understand that well.
Can I ask you two more quick questions, if you don't mind? A listener says, wasn't hospitalised until after I had COVID, but migraine and debilitating exhaustion after exercise is continuing 2 months later. I have no idea, this listener says, how each day will go. Is that something you've seen before?
That is, those are the sorts of symptoms, those persistent recurring symptoms that are linked to a specific activity that despite people's best activities, they can't seem to escape from. It's that sort of pattern of symptoms that I would suggest should be medically followed up. So that person, especially with the fact that if they haven't had a history of migraines and they're getting regular headaches, that person should be seeking medical advice and should be linked in to make sure that there's nothing else going on that actually needs more urgent attention, and then to get the help that they need to try and get on the road to recovery.
Okay. Can I ask you before I let you go, Paddy, about, I mean, the COVID numbers are stubbornly high. How is St. Vincent's coping in terms of hospitalisation and ICU capacity at the moment?
So we have a steady stream of people, unfortunately, coming into the hospital with COVID-19. Thankfully, we've seen a drop-off in terms of the numbers going to the ICU, so most of the patients are being managed at the ward level. We haven't seen the drop-off in hospitalisations that we saw with the end of the first wave, or indeed with the end of the second wave, or you know, the dip between the second wave and the third wave.
Yeah.
But we have the structures in place to be able to manage the numbers that are coming in. And in terms of our escalation plan, we're at the lower end. We're at the lower end of our escalation plans, and the focus within the hospital is really to try and resume the non-COVID medical work as quickly as possible and try and catch up on the lost activity in that area.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. Thank you very much indeed for your time. I know you're extremely busy. Dr. Paddy Mallin, Consultant in Infectious Diseases at St. Vincent's Hospital.